Please be seated. There are just some times when you need to stay on the mountaintop, I've decided. In times when you gotta check what kind of measles vaccination you got just to be safe, and you hope the big boys keep on their big boy pants in public conversation, I'm just gonna say this is one of those times where we need to stay on the mountaintop for a minute. So we're working on how we can do that together. So as we prepare for a holy Lent, my invitation to you is to go back to the beginning. If, as Padraig said last week, Jesus lived next door, or God was a neighbor who could sit on your porch with you in the afternoon, and God, being God, invite you to talk about the real things, the story of where you come from, and the questions that have followed you your entire life. Whether it is, why is my life like this? Why are people like this to me or to us? Why is the world like this? Or maybe it's as basic as from the beginning you've wondered if you could get a little more candy, please. Whatever it is, you will have some porch light fellowship to sit with your neighbors and a book about Christians living together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer this Lent, and God will be among you. The Bible is like us in this way, like our personal stories and like our collective stories. There is one overarching theme, and it's not a question, and they return to it today in the readings and the way that they've been put together, that the God who created us, who is creating, seeks to know us, and for us to know God's vision for this creation. And as simple as that seems, we continuously decline to ask the questions. We decline the enormity of that God perspective. We decline the invitation. Now, maybe because there are all kinds of barriers put in our way, maybe, but we decline God's invitation, and so we wander in misery, the Bible tells us, and oppressed by tyrannies. The delights and pleasures of this world shackle us in dependence. The things that are for our joy become our weight. But God waits, it says, sometimes out of reach, to let us be as we are created to be, free and bound by our own choices and our collective choices, by the ordering of this world. So in the readings we have today, Moses and Jesus go up high to the place of perfect perspective where God meets them. Today, our heroes climb up and down mountains. Moses has just returned up to Sinai to try again for the commandments. And remember that Moses comes down the first time a few chapters before with those first commandments and finds the people worshiping a golden calf they had made. So hard to imagine it sometimes, and other times, not so much. A statue of gold made of their fine things they had melted down because he was away from them for so long, they said. They were afraid that without an image of something like the other peoples around them had, without a focus of their anxieties and hopes made of their own valuable stuff, that they would fail. When Moses comes down from the mountain that first time, instead of finding the people praying for him as he had asked, as he appeals to God on their behalf, they are dancing around a statue made from their jewelry, and they have decided it has the virtues of God, their liberating God, that it has power, that it can hold their fear and lead them to freedom. Moses, in a rage, throws down those first commandments, shattered, written on stone by God's own finger, we are told, shattered. And he hears a word, and he has a word with his brother, Aaron, and with the people, and it is a grim word. So in today's readings, he has gone back up the mountain to plead with God again for the people. With stone tablets he has hewn by his own hand, he's made them, awaiting the word of the Lord, maybe wondering if God would appear again. And God responds with these great words right before our reading. God proclaims, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Maybe he was saying, Moses, you too could try that. It is here also in that passage that the idea of the generational quality of evil is named. Our personal and collective choices falling through the generations upon their heads, and the ephemeral nature of good. Dazzling and quixotic, we love it when we recognize it, requiring our intention to love ourselves and one another and build communities that reflect God's purposes. And that is not mysterious, also outlined in these first chapters of the Bible, that we are in it together. To love ourselves and one another, every part of that, requiring a vigilance and intention of fighting the urge to worship idols that will always be placed in front of us, of idols of the way things are, of the way it seems that things must be, of the ways of simple power. And then God gives to Moses the covenant, the commandments, which you will hear during Lent. This Moses, who was sat in conversation with God on that holy mountain, then comes down at the beginning of today's reading, and then it says he returns and comes back and he goes again. He is now a conversation partner of God. And because of that, he can reveal his face to God alone on that high place. And he has to cover his face for the people because it says, it does not say they cannot bear it, it says they don't want to look at it. It has a shine to it, it says, and I don't read Hebrew, but someone look it up. Wonder what that shine was about. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to see him. They are afraid of the face of the one who speaks to God. Or is it that they, the idol makers, do not wish to gaze upon the face that reflects the truth of God back upon them? God's visions among them, forced to be veiled, but that close if they wanted it. Now, in the gospel reading, Jesus and Peter, James and John go up a mountain and find Elijah and Moses in glory, it says, like the hymn, in light. And that same shine comes upon Jesus, it says, from glory to glory. And then they come down from that mountain to a world of sick children and evil and hunger and war. They will feed and heal and teach and preach. In Luke, the idea of staying up on that mountain doesn't even get a real hearing. In some of the other Gospels, there's a little conflict up there. There's an argument. Not in this one. The cloud comes over them in Luke, and the Lord of Moses speaks, claiming Jesus as the Son of God. God is among them on the mountaintop, the chosen one to be listened to, a secret they carry with them until the end. They have seen Moses and Elijah in glory, the disciples, the great prophets who knew God in their lifetimes. They knew the intention of God for God's people and proclaimed it. This Jesus is like them, we learn today, among the lineage of prophets and teachers and apostles and dealers in wisdom. That is also our heritage. Hagar and Huldah and Mary and John and Lord and Bonhoeffer. In every generation, more than the world is comfortable encountering face to face. The poets tell us the world is charged with that shining, like shook foil, Hopkins writes, the ephemeral, delighting sparkle of shine. And we see in these readings the real struggles and temptations of people just like us, following God by a pillar of cloud and fire in their real lives and yet faltering because the days were so long and hard and they kept coming. God's mighty acts and God's intentions clear and not nearly enough for the struggle of the day, it seems. So we return without fear to beginnings. Yours and the world's, and let us do it again as we approach this Lent. The world is doing it. Israel and Palestine, where our heritage of religion comes from. Ukraine and Russia in front of all of us. White and black, immigrant and native born. Let us not be afraid, for we have made our own mountaintop here. It's what a church is, and we practice it up here. What a delight. You can take the veil off up here and cast your face up or down, however you choose, kneel or stand or sit, laugh or cry, and let your deepest knowing be known to you. Surrounded by the power of those who have come before, with your eyes cast on the generations yet to come. What drives you one day to the other, what do you dream of for this beautiful and aching world and for yourself? And what do you have to say that to this one charged with light who invites you over to sit and to stay a while, like a porch with a light on, while the cares of the world go by?